Coming up on podcast 1074, NIO officially launches their Chinese EV brand here in Europe and possibly further into the US as well. Stick around for all the details today. Also coming up on the podcast, we talk about VW targeting 600,000 fully electric cars this year and a million plug-ins in 2020. The Audi e-tron now on sale, Hyundai's plans for the next cars built on their new platform, and we have a look at a new electric racing series amongst a lot more news happening today. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Thursday, 6th of May. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Let's fight the fossils together and go through another day of really positive EV news. And what can be better than starting with a story about a big EV maker coming to a continent where they don't do any business really at the moment, and that would be NIO. So we heard the news this morning that NIO is officially entering Europe. The ES8 will go on sale in Norway from this summer. Goes on sale in July. If you go to the NIO homepage, it's a beautiful set of shots of some Nordic fjords and sunsets and things. I might rip these photos off and have it as my screensaver. It really is quite calming, looking at these photos of Norwegian hills. How lovely. But let's get into the details of what's happening then with NIO. And there was a presentation streamed earlier today on YouTube. It was a pre-recorded one. It wasn't live, but it was kind of streamed as live. But it was very polished and clearly not a live event. But who cares, right? Because we got to find out all about NIO's plans to sell at least two models to begin with in Europe. And they've got global ambitions. So we heard about their plans to be in some key areas, so Bergen, Stavanger, Trondheim and Kristiansand, in terms of having a physical presence. They're going to be in those main urban areas, but also they're going to have a ranger service as well. So they know that they have to support Norwegian buyers of a brand that isn't available at the moment. They talked about charging. They're going to build their own charging network. Their own version of the Tesla supercharging network is being built in Norway, and they're going to do some deals to allow access to other chargers, and they're going to bring battery swapping, which is what they do in China and is very, very popular, to Norway. We'll wait and see if it's popular in Norway, because although Norway has those big urban areas, it's largely a lot of space. Now, in China, where they do their battery swapping, it's in very dense urban areas where perhaps you can't charge at home and where opportunity charging isn't as great as other areas. And so Norway being an early EV market and the world's number one EV market, remember what I was saying yesterday on the podcast, over half of all new car sales are electric, over 80% have a plug socket. So there's a really good charging network in Norway already. And if anyone that's watched Bjorn Newland's videos will know that he's always like, well, I could stop here, or I could go 5 minutes on and stop, or 5 minutes on and stop. And you're like, I'm just jealous of your infrastructure. However, they are bringing battery swapping. And that's interesting. They have the next generation of battery swapping stations, which has either gone live in China or is literally about to go live in China. These are going to be made for Norway as well. I'm fascinated to see, because obviously Tesla tried it with the Model S and it just wasn't required in California. They built battery swap stations, or at least one station, if I recall, delving deep into the memory banks. And of course, the cars, the battery packs, the Model S's were all built to take the pack out from underneath. You saw the demonstration on stage with Tesla. Nobody did it. They packed up shop. It works really well for NIO. Takes 6-7 minutes, and there are so many brilliant reasons why battery swapping can work in the right areas. Won't go into it now, probably a whole other podcast, but safe to say, we'll wait and see if it works in Norway. They talked about a proper app for Norway as well, so really supporting customers there with superchargers and swap stations easily marked on the map. And they've done a deal with Plug Surfing, the charging network, to ensure that charging is nice and easy. Like I said, they're having service centres, physical buildings that you can take your car back to, but they appreciate that Norway is geographically quite diverse and spread out, so they will have a what they're calling Neo Pickup and Delivery, a mobile service using their own vehicles there. They'll come and collect your vehicle, probably give you a loaner, I imagine, and bring it back when it is done and ready. Let's have a look at the vehicles coming to Norway then and coming to Europe, and I wonder how long it'll take to go from Norway to the rest of the EU, possibly UK. I don't know, we're right-hand drive, highly doubt it. There's the Neo ES 8. 100 kilowatt hour battery pack is the latest version size, but their battery packs all have the same external dimensions or physical dimensions, so battery swapping can work whether you've got an older one or a newer one, and as battery technology improves, they squeeze into, you know, more cells into this, or more power into the same physical space. At the minute, they're putting 100 kilowatt hour packs in. That's quite a new development. 500 kilometers of WLTP range, 0 to 62 miles an hour in less than 5 seconds, 1500 kilograms towing, and the ES8 is kind of their Model X competitor, if you like, 6 or 7 seats. In the YouTube video, took a screenshot of that. They showed very quickly the entrance to Norway, the timeline. This July, they're launching. The app goes live and you can buy the ES8. That's their SUV. So that's in August. You can buy it and you can start test driving the cars. Then in September, you can order them and take delivery of them. They're opening their first Neo House, which is their lounge that you can, if you want to go and physically see someone, order the car, sit down, do the configurator. You can obviously do it on the app and online, but you can do it in person. They've got the service center opening in September and the swap station opens in September. Then next year, they launch the ET7. That's their sports sedan. And they're opening Neo Spaces in Bergen, Stavanger, Trondheim and Kristiansand, as I mentioned. So to take a look at the cars, which they have, the Neo ES8 is the first one launching. That, like I say, big SUV. Norway is a good place to do this. Obviously, it's no coincidence they're launching in Norway. It's a very mature EV market. And also, these kind of vehicles, which are used for, you know, towing, going up to cabins, etc., etc., will be quite popular. The ES8 on sale since 2018 in China. It's a 7-seat Model X rival with 641 brake horsepower from its 4-wheel drive, 2-motor powertrain, WLTP range of 310 miles, 500 Ks, and prices confirmed very soon, coming months, ahead of deliveries beginning September, reports an Autocar article today talking about the ES8 and all of this news. Next, after that, we're going to get the ET7. If I go back to the Norway page, then that is the car coming next year. Sports sedan ET7 looks, again, like a really compelling car for that market. And again, no pricing available on this, but they're making a really big deal with the ET7 of its autonomous capabilities as well. But I get that. I know the autonomous driving, the sensor suite, etc., etc., is going to be very powerful. But I just think, look at it. Like, it's got a over 3 meter wheelbase, so a bigger wheelbase than the Ioniq 5, for instance. That's exactly 3 meters. The Kia EV6, another kind of big crossover kind of car, that's 2.9 meters. This has a longer wheelbase, much longer car, because it is a much longer sedan, and 2 meters wide, 5 meters long. And again, I think this could be, if they get it right in terms of persuading people in that market, in the Norwegian market, that you can get the car at a good price and it's supported well, these could sell incredibly well. Can't wait to see what they do. It's just so exciting to see a new, or is it in effect for us, a new name? I say for us, like I'm not getting it here, obviously, in the UK. Like I mentioned, right-hand drive, we're not going to get it, are we? Realistically, but to have a Chinese name leaving the domestic market and launching properly, like a proper launch. Now, I know what you'll say, well, there's been XPENGs in Norway, there has, and you'll be like, hang on, Volvo and Polestar is owned by Geely. That's a Chinese company. What are you talking about? And I get all of that. And MG owned by Chinese. I get all of that. But this is a Chinese brand that's been operating domestically for the last 10 years, moving out into this market, and clearly with global plans. How long till they get to the rest of the EU and Europe, and then also US as well? I guess it all depends on how the Norway launch goes and how they can persuade people of a brand new brand, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. What do you think of that? It's been a big first story on the podcast today. You can tell I'm excited about it because it widens consumer choice. And this podcast's all about, like I say, taking down fossil fuels and giving you the information that you need to know to make the right decisions, but also telling you about the incredibly exciting things happening in the world of EVs. just makes me excited to see things like this. And so we go from that to another big story today, and that is about Volkswagen. They did their Q1 earnings call. Now, of course, sort of the world in VVs kind of stops when Tesla do an earnings call, but not really for anybody else. But I do want to go into a couple of things that the Herbert Diess, who runs the group of Volkswagen, went into today. They earlier on talked about how they're raising their earnings outlook following a really good first quarter recovery in China, and also they're seeing success in their battery electric vehicles, and that's so important because we want them to be a success, we want them to be more competition for what's out there, and we want them to show the others, look, you can do it, you can make EVs profitably, so it drags, it raises the tide, right? First quarter operating profit, 4.8 billion euros, it's about $5.8 billion, says Automotive News Europe. The operating return on sales was 7.7%, according to this article. They say that total deliveries during the first quarter was up 21% to 2.43 million vehicles from the group, mainly driven by China, actually, where they're building several EV factories. A third EV factory now announced for the MEB platform. Deliveries of electrified models more than doubled, and 60,000 were battery electric vehicles. But we knew that because we heard it already on earlier this year. That announcement was already made. And if you look at the stats that we heard, I think 23rd of April, I think I first heard this, battery electric vehicles in the first quarter of the year, Jan, Feb, March. This is globally, by the way. It's 59,900 from the Volkswagen Group. You're talking ID4s and e-trons and Porsche Taycans and plug-in hybrids, really popular as well. And again, not necessarily my weapon of choice, not my cup of tea. I get why for some people they're a safety net, having that combustion engine. I don't think you need them anymore. I think a few years ago, the tech wasn't there. But I think for everyone's use case now, unless you've got 14 kids, want to tow a horse box and have, you know, 8 kids in the, in somewhere in the car and do 1,000 miles a day, then go ahead and buy yourself a diesel, knock yourself out. But for everybody else, I think, you know, there's a compelling battery electric vehicle out there for you. Plug-in hybrids did really well, 73,400 of those. Going to play you a quick bit of Herbert Diess speaking earlier. This was an investor's call, so it's, you know, it's a little bit dry because it's aimed at that audience, but still bear with me. First one's a minute long. He gives an honourable mention to the ID5 and the ID6. Listen out and watch out for his mention of the backlog. They've got 100,000 cars in the backlog order now. They're so popular. They're number one in Europe for pure battery electric cars by a long way. He gives an honourable mention to the Cupra, which was the L-Born, now called the Born. That's coming soon. And his goal to sell a million, or they're on target to do a million cars with plug sockets on this year, 2021, alone. He mentions Bentley, Lamborghini, Ducati. That's being rolled into Audi. So again, synergies there with Audi. Their electric technology will be rolled out to those brands. Bugatti is being rolled into Porsche, or managed by Porsche, with a joint partnership with Rimac, and so we'll wait and see kind of ownership structures and things working out there. But you know, the electric technology that Matej Rimac and his team have there is some of the best in the world, so that can only be a good thing for VW Group. Have a listen to this.
As promised, we will report our BEV sales on a quarterly basis. We delivered 60,000 BEVs to customers, 78% more than in Q1 last year, and around 73,000 plug-in hybrids, a plus of 178%. In Western Europe, order intake amounted to 65,000, bringing the order backlog to more than 100,000 BEVs at the end of the quarter. Across the group, we already ranked number one with our BEV sales in Europe. Meanwhile, our global BEV portfolio is growing rapidly. The Volkswagen brand introduced the ID4 in China and in the US, further accelerating its electrification push. Other new e-models include the ID4 GTX, the ID5, the ID6, as well as Skoda's Enyaq, Audi's Q4 e-tron, Porsche's Taycan Cross Turismo, and the Cupra Born, all coming to market this year. In total, we expect to reach 1 million deliveries of e-models, BEV and PHEV combined, in 2021. Thus, we are fully on track to meet our CO2 targets in the EU. Over the next 10 years, Volkswagen will manage the largest transformation in its history to become a globally leading, climate neutral, software-driven mobility group. As part of the transformation, we have further consolidated our smaller luxury brands. Bentley, Lamborghini, and Ducati will be managed by Audi to help leverage the synergies in the luxury segment. Now under the roof of Porsche, Bugatti plans to join forces with Rimac.
I'm not giving VW an easy ride on this. I want more pure battery electric cars on the road. And if they come from VW, I'll appraise them when they do that well. And never forget, they've got a lot to make up for. All right, second clip I'll play you. He talks about the MEB platform. And that is what all of their cars, most of their cars are built on. He talks about software. That's really important because software, even in the ID4, and the ID3, when I've driven those cars, I find it laggy, buggy, not user intuitive. They've got a new division within VW that's 4,000 employees. It's called CARIAD, and it's their job to sort out the software side of the hardware platforms, which they will have, and that could include, you know, licensing that to other car companies as well, possibly as an income stream in the future. But this is why I do sometimes give VW the benefit of the doubt, not forgetting what's happened, is that I do think they're making the right moves to sort these things out. Even then, they got issues at the moment. They talk about Power Day. They talk about the single unified cell, how that's going to be key. It's coming very soon. Have a listen.
In the first quarter, we continued to roll out our MEB platform with a production capacity of 1 million cars globally. On March 26, we presented our new software brand, CARIAD, to more than 4,000 employees. CARIAD will allow us to turn the car into a smart companion, which will communicate 24/7 with the customers and provide updates and new digital features even years later. By further integrating the people and software capabilities of previous acquisitions, we are continuing to increase our in-house software expertise. I just visited our new CARIAD colleagues from Hella Aglaia in Berlin, a top motivated team, state-of-the-art technology. Now 200 experts work in the fields of perception, situation recognition, and object classification. CARIAD has also set up a team to build up expertise in the definition of semiconductors, a core competence as cars becoming internet devices. Another important milestone was the bundling of our battery and charging activities under the leadership of Thomas Schmal. At our Power Day in mid-March, he and his team presented our roadmap for batteries and charging up to 2030. One unified cell approach, production in Europe, further partnerships with BP, Iberdrola, Enel to extend our charging infrastructure.
Oakley dokley, let's continue. Volkswagen ID4 is next in the news. Mopping up in Europe is the headline from Zach at Clean Technica. The ID3, he says, seems like it just hit the market, but the attention has shifted to ID4 because the ID4 is mopping up in Europe. The standout highlight, as he's noted twice already, the Volkswagen ID4 doing really well. 4,000 sales last month in April in the 6 countries that he looked at. No, it's not a full data set yet. Approximately 3,000 more than second place, which was the Kia Niro EV. Having a look at the data on screen, I'll just explain it for the podcast listeners. In April, VW ID4, over 4,000 sales in the first markets that have reported back for that month. And again, Kia e-Niro far behind, VW ID3, XC40 from Volvo, then the Audi e-tron, Skoda Enyaq and Polestar 2 is how it goes. Yes, there's no Model 3 because there's been no shipments. It's how it works with Tesla and their logistics. Nothing from the US, nothing from China. They're not on the list. Does it mean the ID4 will smash it on the quarter? Well, for context, the March figures, so end of the quarter when Tesla push, something like 21,000 Model 3s compared to the 4,000 VW ID4s we're just talking about. So, you know, context is everything sometimes. All right, let's move on. And let's talk about a story with the Audi e-tron GT going on sale now here in the markets over here. You've been able to pre-order, maybe even configure, possibly, I think. But the Audi e-tron GT is now on sale in dealerships across Europe. The fully electric GT car available in two models, the GT Quattro and the RS e-tron GT Quattro, from €99,000 to €138,000 in Germany. The cars are shipping today. today to the 27 EU markets plus UK. Audi unveiling the next phase of their global brand campaign. They've called it Future is an Attitude. Because they can, I suppose. Sounds like the kind of slogan that a perfume would have, I don't know, with some advert with Johnny Depp staring into mid-distance in soft focus and the voiceover going, Future by Attitude, the new perfume, or something. I don't know. I guess you've got to pay marketing people for something. So their new slogan, Future is an Attitude. You can keep all that nonsense. I just want to talk about the cars if you want. But anyway, Audi very proud of that. They should be proud of the car and not spend so much money on the PR people to come up with phrases, because the cars themselves are brilliant. And the Audi e-tron and the e-tron Sportback have also done really well in sales. 47,324 of those units combined delivered globally last year. Audi e-tron was the best-selling EV offered by a German premium manufacturer. It's almost like if they could write that premium word in a small font on screen. It's the number one selling car by a German premium manufacturer. So it's not really number one. But in Norway, it was the best-selling car of all of last year, was the Audi e-tron. Congratulations to Audi and the fantastic job that they are doing there with electrification. Let's move on. Workhorse, making commercial vehicles in the US, have partnered with the Chinese company that we mentioned yesterday, CATL. They are focused on providing really cost-effective integrated EVs for the last mile delivery sector, announcing today that they will enter into a supply contract with CATL, actually with Coulomb Solutions, if I've said that correctly, CSI. Not the telly show, the North American distributor for CATL to provide battery systems for their electric delivery vehicles. Workhorse, really interesting. I know they missed out on a big government postal contract, but that is going to be kicking around for a long time yet, because that contract went to combustion vehicles, which seems very, very wrong. They recently completed the validation of the new 120 kilowatt hour lithium iron phosphate battery system for their C1000 delivery platform, and production quantities start now this month in May 2021. CATL is the largest EV battery maker in the world, over 60 gigawatt hours of current production capacity. I'll pop a link to the investor site of Workhorse if you'd like to read more. Next, we'll talk about the Jeep Wrangler 4XE, or rather, as they want me to call it, the 4xE, which is pretty terrible. 4x4 sounds kind of okay, skipping off the tongue. But to say, oh yeah, I've got the new Wrangler 4xE, sounds like I'm about to start singing Kumbaya. Anyway, so can we call it the 4XE? Because that sounds cool, right? What's that? It's the 4XE. Nice. Anyway, at home in America already, the 4XE from the Wrangler name is at home, proving that electricity, according to the website Auto Evolution, they say electricity is not only good for the environment, but also for off-roading. Yes, but building a big Jeep isn't good for the environment, but that's, again, another podcast. You can't ever call building a car good for the environment, but if we are going to build them, let's put batteries in them and make sure that they're non-polluting at the tailpipe, at least. I don't know, I'm kind of conflicted about the Wrangler 4XE. It does a job, I suppose. 21 miles EPA, if you can save your mileage when you're crawling over rocks and things, you're going to use it up pretty quickly if you're doing any kind of climbing, but still, I guess if you can charge it up at the beginning of a trailhead or something, I don't know. Over here in Europe, they say, where the SUV's order books opened ahead of the official arrival, May the 21st. If you've ordered one, let me know in the comments. I'd like to know. The Eurospec Wrangler 4XE can do 31 miles on the test cycle, which we use, the worldwide cycle. But what matters is real world, and that's going to change with every different user in every different scenario. Yeah, I guess I'm kind of conflicted. I mean, it's still got combustion-y oily bits, and then the way they join up the electric powertrain to the rest of it is fabulously complicated, and when it goes wrong, it's going to be expensive to repair, but let's hope that you don't own it when you have to repair it. But otherwise, I mean, it's impressive engineering. Not for me, really. But anyway, if you've ordered one, I'd love to know. Next, we'll talk about Hyundai and their next models. Hang on a minute, they've not even started delivering the IONIQ 5 yet. But according to a report in South Korean media, they're already talking about what comes next after IONIQ 5. The second model, based on the platform, which is the eGIMP platform, is IONIQ, drumroll, 6. just gone up a number. Which is kind of makes sense. In the run-up to the premiere of the IONIQ 5, the Hyundai design team said they would give each EGMP model its own character. So if you think they're going to take the boxy 80s retro 8-bit lighting style of the IONIQ 5 and make it a bit more saloony, no, this is going to be, according to the concept car, much lower, swoopy, curvy, different design language. IONIQ 7 then follows in early 2024. That's a big SUV. Hyundai will launch 12 pure battery cars by 2025. Not sure how many of them will be on the 800-volt platform, but I'll pop a link to Electrive in the show notes if you want to read more about that story. Let's talk about the world's top five automotive groups in the first quarter of the year. I know we're in May, but still the data comes in. So January, February, March, who is number one? Who's leading the pack? What do you reckon? Let's take a look at the plug-in electric car sales from the top automotive groups, says Inside EVs. According to EV sales blog, 1.13 million plug-in cars were sold in the first quarter of the year. Two-thirds were batteries. Let's have a look. In terms of cars with plug sockets on, Tesla was number one with 184,500 cars in the first quarter of the year. The Chinese company SAIC, 145,000. The German Volkswagen Group, 130,000. Then BMW and then Stellantis. And we'll take a look at the pure battery electric cars because that's kind of what I want to have a look at. And again, Tesla, well, still number one. The same number, obviously, because they make no plug-in hybrids. So they're still number one. SAIC still number two, Volkswagen still number three. The data here says 63,000, and if you think about what I said earlier on the podcast, it was 59.9, but that was last month. Maybe they've changed it, or maybe, anyway, 4,000 difference. BYD, 38,000, Stellantis, 35,500 pure electric cars. But let's look at the total number, and it was 743,000 if you take, you know, combined all of them in the world. That is an amazing amount of EVs hitting the road in the first quarter of the year alone. We've got a long podcast again today. So it's just so much good news around that I don't want to leave too much stuff out. There's already loads of things that I don't talk about each day. And you know, I want to bring you as much good news as we possibly can. Question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. EVs are highly connected cars, but how much data are you willing to give up? And what do you want in return? Email me your thoughts. I'll read them out on Sunday. It's hello@evnewsdaily.com. Well, if you can check out our Patreon page, it's patreon.com/evnewsdaily for like $5 or $10, basically a posh coffee or two a month, which maybe you're not even having as usual if COVID's knocked out your routine. You can support this show and my work, and it really does allow me the budget and the time to put this together, all the hosting fees and all those kind of things. I've well over 1,000 podcasts now spreading the good word about electric vehicles to those people that are interested all around the world. I appreciate anything you can do, but no pressure. This podcast will always be free. Little mention for our premium partners: Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley. Check out his EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. Always new videos to watch on there, some great reviews. Richard over at rsev.co.uk, easy URL to remember if you're buying and selling EVs in the UK. And of course, emobilitynorway.com. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.